Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Department of Justice and the Department of Education have announced a new proposed rule to protect religious freedom in the public schools and elsewhere. This is a great victory for religious freedom. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber and Holly Mead. Well, this again is more of the outrolling of an executive order going back to President Donald Trump, in which he directed all of the agencies to protect religious freedom. And we've seen a number of these agencies begin to propose rules, roll back bad regulations, repeal unconstitutional discriminatory rules, and also to provide new rules and guidance for religious freedom. Now, what this is it doesn't create any new constitutional rights in the public schools. What it does is it provides guidance in a legal memo that actually outlines what the religious rights, the constitutional rights are in these public schools.
So just protecting what they already have, right?
So this is the Department of Justice, and they've issued a very detailed, lengthy memorandum. They're going to be putting this in the proposed rules, and the Department of Education. They're all involved in it. And the DOE is sending letters to all of the school administrations across the country, letting them know about this new guidance and telling them they need to follow what the law is.
Boy, it's a breath of fresh air considering what happened with Obama and his letters to the schools. Yeah. And to see this happening is just a breath of fresh air.
President Obama sent letters effectively saying that you will treat boys as girls and girls and as boys and open up the locker rooms and open up the sports to boys. And this is kind of the inverse of that. It's the photo image, because that, of course, trampled religious liberty around the country and individual privacy rights and so forth, whereas this merely is repeating what the Constitution always guarantees. And because there's so much disinformation from groups like the ACLU and other anti-Christian organizations that are trying to quash religious liberty, this is necessary to correct the record for a lot of these school districts.
Yes, and the Department of Justice, by the way, they issued a memorandum, and it's a fairly comprehensive memorandum. It's not just on religious freedom in the public schools. It's on religious freedom in general, and it goes point by point by point, page after page, citing to the federal constitution and the federal court precedents on what the rights are in so many different areas, inside and outside the public schools. This was issued, the memorandum from the Department of Justice, and the announcement, by the way, that the DOJ and the Department of Education are proposing these rules. That's separate from, and that's going to be focused, the rules are on public school. But this general memo and the announcement of the rules all occurred on a very important day, and that was Religious Freedom Day. And that was January 16. That happens every year where we celebrate Religious Freedom Day. It goes all the way back to the Thomas Jefferson's passage in 1786 of the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom, a very historic piece of legislation. And in fact, by the way, Thomas Jefferson wanted that. There's three things on his tombstone, and he wanted to be known for the author of that statue on religious freedom, so it was very important to him. And so that's on his tombstone when you visit his graveside now.
So let's talk about what are the rights that students and teachers have regarding prayer and religious freedom on school campuses.
Well, let's talk about some specifics. Before we do that, by the way, every year, many of you may not know that, but every year, the schools must ultimately affirm to the state and then to the federal government that they are in compliance with religious freedom. Mm. And if they are not in compliance with religious freedom, they could lose federal funding. So keep that in mind. And with this new memo that's going out and with the rules that are going out, it's putting schools on notice. We're taking this very seriously, and you need to protect religious freedom. So as it relates to the rights of students, and we're also talking about teachers as well, but let's look at the rights of students. Students, because they enter the schoolhouse gate, and when they do, they don't lose their constitutional rights. They have those rights to be able to speak verbally and in print during non-class time. For example, before, after school, in between class. They can talk about their faith. They can communicate faith, Christian doctrine. They can invite people to their church or youth group. They can also do that in the form of passing out gospel tracts and literature before school starts, after school ends, or in between classes as they're moving from one class to the next, or during non-class time. So that would be during lunchtime, for example.
Yeah, but can't they also respond with a faith-based answer, say in response to a question by a teacher
or in class discussion? In class, obviously, you can't just simply take over the classroom and talk about some subject unrelated to the class, or start distributing literature in there while they're trying to focus on a particular subject. But whatever is consistent with that subject.
Within a history class or something like that.
History class, you can express your answers verbally as well as your homework and artwork. They can all have religious themes.
And you hear all the time about, and it happened right here at my kids' school district where they were, a teacher made an assignment to reflect on who's the most impactful person in your life. And she said, but no religious figures. So, you know, that's a blatant constitutional infringement right there. This would clarify that they cannot prohibit students from discussing religious figures in their work or religious themes.
If they have an open-ended assignment like that, who's the person that you think has most influenced the world? And it's an open assignment like that. They can't just simply say, but no religion, no religious person. If they focus the assignment, who's the most significant scientist that you think has impacted mathematics or physics? They can choose a particular person who also is motivated by their faith, and they can talk about it.
Galileo.
They can bring in why their faith influenced what they were doing, and they can talk about their amazing discoveries that they had as well. So they can certainly do that. And what's happened, as you said, Matt, oftentimes these students are told, oh, but you can't talk about religion. That's off limits. That is impermissible to do that. And so these proposed rules will address that. Also, Bible clubs. We still have situations with faith-based Bible clubs or other Christian clubs, pro-life clubs. And this not only is on the younger grades, but also even on college campuses, where they're discriminated against because of their religious viewpoints or the fact that they're pro-life. They have the right to be treated equally, and you cannot discriminate against them simply because you disagree with their viewpoint or their message.
Right. What about sports events? You know, we these issues come up with, they want to lead prayer at sports events, and that's been gagged often. Do they have the right to do that?
You know, that's the thing about student-initiated. Students can do what teachers can't do, even under the current precedent. And so, for example, you can have prayer and singing in a Bible club that's led by students. But students can also gather on the football field or somewhere else. And
see you at the poll every year.
See you at the poll and exercise their right to freedom.
And that's student-initiated.
Right.
And the coach would not, you know, if a student-initiated prayer begins, it's perfectly within the coach's rights to then join in.
Yeah, and you know what you also have is valedictorians or salutatorians, somebody who is part of the platform, either they're there because they have made some kind of neutral achievement, in other words, top grade point or whatever it might be, president of the class, they've achieved something. They can speak at graduation, and they can speak about secular things or religious things, and they can share their faith. Don't censor their viewpoint. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different options here for students. We have a little Patriot's handbook. It's called The Rights of Students in Public Schools, and you can order that by going to our website, lc.org. patriotshandbook.org. That's the Patriots Handbook series. And it's the Patriots Handbook of Religious Freedom in Public Schools. It's a pocket-sized version. It talks about not only the rights of students, but also of teachers and also parents.
We also have a handout on our website, too.
Yeah, you can go to our website, lc.org, and just go to the section where it talks about schools, and you'll find some of our resources there, as well as our online store. And if you have any questions or see of any issues, know of any issues that infringe on religious freedom, give us a call, 407-875-1776, or visit us at lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.